Verse 12, the Bible said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Four things the Apostle Paul identifies that our battle lies in. Where our fight is at. If you could tonight, I'd like to just kind of grab your attention and bring you to a place where the fight takes place. Most of the time, it's called an arena. An arena. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip down to verse number 14 and just read that. You've all read 12 through 18 many, many times. And I'm going to look at verse 14 because here's what we're told to do. He said, "Stand therefore." Okay? That's it. What are we to do? Stand. When you don't know what to do, just stand. When you don't have an answer for all the questions, just stand. Just be honest with folk. When they ask you all kind of old crazy questions, you know, say, "I ain't sure about that. But I'm there going to stand. I ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to stand." Father, I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord, please. God, we need you. I need you. Lord, I can't help these folk if you don't help me. God, I pray, Lord, that my heart would be right with you. God, I pray I'd be clean. Help me. Cleanse me, Lord, please. Help us tonight. Give us what we need for your honor and for your glory. Help these young people as they prepare for the days ahead, Lord, for the months ahead, for the tests that's ahead, for the trials that's ahead, for the attacks that's ahead. I pray you'd protect them. I pray you'd watch over them. God, keep them safe. And God, use them to be a witness wherever they go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Four things right there that we're told that we have to fight against. All kind of different fighters in this world. And my dad used to love to watch boxing. I like to watch boxing. And I found out something that I don't like about boxing. That's getting hit. Anybody ever tried it? Yeah. Yeah. It works real good whenever you're the giver. But if you're the receiver, things don't go well. I watched them both. On them boxing matches from years gone by. And man, I've seen some of them get hit and their body just literally just locks up. Just stiff. They fall. Just go. They're out. That's fighting. Then they got that karate fighting. And a mirror man got real famous on TV about that one day. He didn't have a name. They didn't have any way to address him. They just called him the Karate Kid. That was it. That was enough. They knew who it was by calling him that. And then there's people that are fighting tonight for their life. Life's filled with fighting. You don't have to be a boxer and you don't have to be a karate man. But somewhere along the way, you're going to have to fight for something. And you might have to fight for your life. You may have a loved one that's going to be in that hospital or somewhere, and they may be fighting for their life, and you're going to be praying and fighting in prayer. But when it comes time to fight without hesitation, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to stand. And Paul said, the last part of verse number 13, "And having done all, to stand." Standing's not always easy because standing identifies us. If I was to say tonight, how many in here is Christians? If you are, stand up. Well, obviously everybody in here that professes the name of Christ would stand up. And that would identify you, and that would identify me as the Christian that we ask to be identified with. So as we look at this text and we see what Paul says, he said, "And having done all things, therefore, to stand." Verse 14, the first two words, he says, "Stand, therefore." Stand. Stand. And when you stand, well, the fight that we got starts off in verse number 12. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're standing against. That's what you young people are going to be standing against come Friday, I think. That's what we said, right? This coming Friday? Next Friday. Thank you. Thank you. There was about 5 or 6 people saying it at the same time, and I thought it was tomorrow. I got confused. But a week from this coming Friday, next Friday. So you're going to be faced with a lot of things. And I always, you know, I believe this. There's places in St. Mary's that you could go tonight and you would get your life in jeopardy. There's places in Kingsland that you could go tonight when the sun goes down and your life would be in jeopardy. Would you agree with that? There's places, you go to Jacksonville and you get off on the wrong street, friend, you in trouble. Day or night, amen. I remember right after Faith and I got married, and we was going up to see her brother, going up to see Marty. And downtown Atlanta was under construction. I'm telling you, it was a mess. I ain't never liked Atlanta, Georgia. Wow. I get nervous thinking about going through there. And we was going through that place, and I'm telling you, Brother Danny, I mean, just traffic's a shoom, shoom, they fly, and the police flashing their lights at you if you're only running 70 miles an hour. Get out of the way. And I'm trying to get on the right road, and the construction's going on, Brother Mike, and I'm looking, and you just don't know. I go into a panic. When it comes to having to listen to a GPS, and that thing says, turn right in 500 feet. And I'm thinking, to me, 500 feet, I'm rolling 30 miles an hour. It's right there on me. I'm saying, right here. He says, no, 500 feet. It was a real test of our marriage, I'm telling you. And so we got it figured out. We got some understanding on this. I look up. I got off the main road, and I look up, and there's a big sign right there that said, "We buy blood." I said, "Uh-oh, wrong part of town. Don't get out of the car. We ain't stopping right here. God, please don't let it break down." I'm telling you, it's been in the wrong place. But when you get in places like that, you regret it and you do come to this conclusion, I shouldn't have come here. I should have made a better decision. I should not have put myself in this predicament. Can I tell you this? Our children are going to school next week, and I understand there's all kind of sin, there's all kind of crime, there's all kind of trouble. But if they will not go to the wrong places and hang out with the wrong people, somebody help me right there, please. chances are great, everything's going to be all right. Amen. And that's why we have to teach them. We have to tell them, don't you hang around that crowd. Don't you go over there. Don't listen. When you see people that looking crazy and they acting crazy, stay away from them. Amen. I was coming down the highway the other day, Highway 40, and I was worried because I just kind of looked over at my cell phone, you know, might have pushed it out of the way or something like that, you know, trying to keep it from falling. Forgive me a little. And there's a policeman right behind me. And he wasn't looking at me. He was looking at the man in the middle of the highway that's making all these different motions. You know, there's some man standing out there in the middle of the highway, and he's. And I'm like, what is this guy doing right here? He ain't directing traffic. He's fitting to get run over. And obviously, the police officer said the same thing. Now, a real bad choice on my behalf would have been for me to stop where that man was to see if I could help him. I didn't put him there. I mean, if there's trouble going on upstairs, it's not my fault. Okay? You say, but we're supposed to help everybody. No, no, no. No. Don't get out there in water where you can't swim. Some people get themselves in predicaments that they did it to themselves. I've seen people so burned out on dope. Man, I'm telling you, I seen a woman one night at a rescue mission downtown Jacksonville, and she said she was a 5-star general. She was serious. Said she was married to Mick Jagger. But she is worried about sleeping down there at the rescue mission because of all the trouble that could come about down there. And John Vernon, was that ever John Vernon? John said, well, if I was you, I'd just climb up under that tree and go to sleep and not worry about nobody. And she thought, that's a good idea, ain't it? I'm telling you, some people have made the wrong choices in life, and they have got themselves in trouble mentally now, and some people have done the same thing spiritually. And they got themselves way out there, and they don't know what to do, and they can't get back. Paul said, if you're going to fight this fight in his arena, I want you to know what kind of fight you're going to be fighting against. Right. Amen. In that boxing ring, there ain't nobody getting in that boxing ring to fight unless they got gloves on. That's that kind of fight. If it's an MMA fight, them guys getting in that thing, they're trained in that. You know, somebody breaks down and acts like he fits and give them a karate chop, they probably think, say, oh yeah, if they can take you out. They put with the person that's trained for the fight, that type of person. Okay? So in this spiritual warfare fight we've got, Paul lets us know what kind of opposition that we have to fight against. Verse 1, there's four characteristics that's identified right there. That's the kind of fight you're going to have, Brother Darnell. That's the kind of fight that you're going to have. But Alex, it's specific in verse 12 right there. And he winds it up, he says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, it's not just principalities. It's not just powers. But I'm telling you, he said it's against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ultimately and finally, he breaks this thing down in this arena that what he's going to try to do, he's going to try to steal your heart from God. That's what this spiritual wickedness does. We're living in an hour when we was talking in church in office a while ago. So many churches used to be church was, I mean, a church. You ever seen any of them old pictures from where Oliver B. Green, how many has ever seen a tent meeting from where Oliver B. Green was preaching at? You ever seen one? Anybody? One, two people, three people. In that tent meeting, almost every man that's pictured in the front of that tent is sitting there with a black suit on and a white shirt and a black tie. Say, was that the style? Did you know that cars, when they first started making cars way back in the day, black was about the only color you get in them? It was way down the road before color started coming in and all this stuff and all, and people started wearing plaid, and people started wearing stripes, and bought blue, and blue shoes, and it was way down the road of life before all that stuff came about. But in the hour we're living in right now, so many churches, I've seen preachers standing in the pulpit with a jacket on and a shirt tail hanging out, and shoes with no socks on. My daddy, I believe he would have come and beat me out of the pulpit. He'd have whipped me to the house and said, get you some socks on, boy. Amen. Amen. I mean, Mama, whenever I got up where I was old enough to go, Mama always had stipulations. Now, before you leave the house, you make sure you got some clean. You don't never know what might happen to you. Dear God, you scare me so bad I don't even want to leave the house. Amen. Better take two of them with me. I don't know. But and socks on your feet. Yeah, that don't sound like much. That ain't a big deal. Really, it's not a big deal. I mean, if somebody's, well, clean is. But socks is really not. Brother Albert's got boots on. I don't know if he got socks on. It ain't bothering me. Not a bit. But the Bible says it's the little foxes. They start in places where this used to be a big deal. But it's just a little thing now. Nobody cares. It ain't no big deal. Ain't no big deal. So that's the way we've come into America and the society we're living in. He said, stand therefore. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Would you agree it's an evil day? Is there anybody thinks that this is not an evil time? This isn't. Is there anybody here tonight that you've got children that you pray and worry over your children? Anybody? You better. We're living in an evil day. Brother Gary, we pray for our grandchildren, thank God. I'm telling you, I worry. I worry about them. I worry about what's out there. What's next year going to be like? What's 5 years going to be like if the Lord don't come? He said that you can withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. So in verse number 14, he says, stand therefore. He just said, and above all, to stand. Stand. That's where he said, stand. And he turns right back around and says, you didn't hear me, did you? I said, stand therefore. Stand. You a Christian? Stand. Are you a witness for Christ? Stand. Are you saved and in the church? Stand. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Stand. Are you going to heaven when you die? Stand. I'm telling you, we got a lot to stand for that we're being fought against in the hour we live in. I got a couple little thoughts that I wrote down. And I'll try to get them to you and maybe it'll help you. I want to preach on this thought, if I could, some good reasons to stand. Just good reasons to stand. Good reasons. I bet if I was to ask somebody out here tonight, you could give me a good reason to stand. I bet you, Brother Darnell, you could think of some good things that you know that I should stand because of this. But I just got some simple things that maybe will be a help to you. I hope it will. Number one, it's just the right thing to do. You and I bear the name of Christ. Why not stand? I mean, we told people that we are His child. We told someone one day that Jesus Christ saved our soul, came in our heart, and washed our sin away, and we are ambassadors for Christ, and I'm just going to stand. It's the right thing to do. He don't mind me telling everybody. I've never been under conviction. I've never got under conviction about telling somebody I was a Christian after I got saved. He never come to me in the midnight hour, said, don't tell nobody else that. He never stopped me along the way, on the way to church, when I'm at the store, at the gas station, whatever, and said, don't you tell nobody that you go to that church or that you're a Christian. As a matter of fact, we're told just the contrary. We're told to tell it. We're told to put it out there. We're told to let our neighbor know. We're told to let the people we work with know. I'm telling you, if there's one thing that we're to do, just do the right thing, and that's stand. It's just the right thing to do. You know, the lost people, they stand. Lost people standing all the time. A lost man takes a stand about his spiritual condition every time he's around a bunch of saved folk and starts telling a dirty joke. He's taking a stand. A lost person taking a stand every time Monday morning comes and he wants to get right around the workforce where Christians are at and tell them about how come about a wild and crazy alcoholic weekend he had. And he's just taking a stand by what lost people do. So does that make you mad whenever they tell that stuff? You know what? Sinners just sin. You know what? We ought not try to make sinners quit sinning. That didn't make a whole lot of sense, did it? We don't. It ain't our job to make sinners quit sinning. It's our job to get them sinners the gospel. The Holy Ghost knows how to convict them. And when they get saved, the Holy Ghost will just change them, make them a new creature in Christ, turn their heart away from that sin. And then on the inside, that person that used to love to sin and be a part of that says, I don't want to be around it no more. I believe there's a lot of folk that they got persuaded somewhere. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, you Christian? They said, yeah. I said, tell me about it. Because everybody got different ideas. What I told you, ain't it, Brother Albert? I said, tell me about it. And I listened. I wasn't ugly to him. I listened to him. When he got finished, I didn't get a whole lot out of it. Just being honest. I said, let me tell you about when I got saved. I told him about when I got saved. He said, that didn't happen to me. I said, well. He said, but I want it to. You know what he done? He got saved. Thank God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you. Hey, it's just the right thing to do to stand. As a Christian, you ain't got to be ugly and obnoxious. I worry about these people that says they're Christians and they're trying to get all these marks on their Bible. I worry about these people that's trying to get all this notoriety in life. What are they after? What are they trying to do? Somebody help me. What Brother Darnell, what are they trying to do? I mean, are they trying to, are they doing it for the glory of God? Are they doing it to try to lift up Christ? Are they edifying the name of the Lord? Or are they just trying to make a mark in life?
That's right.
I'm telling you. Hey, Paul didn't say lift up yourself. He just said stand. It's just the right thing to do. Hey, young men, it's the right thing to do to stand. And if you'll stand for Christ, everything else will fall in place. Oh, you'll get to the place where you'll be the best young man. I mean, you'll be respectful to your parents or they'll make you where you can't stand. Or maybe I should turn that around. They'll make you where you can't sit. And if they do, down the road, you know what you're going to say to them? Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. I wanted to go all the time. I want to go. But Jeff, we live so far out. Listen, y'all lived in town. You was from Grey Gables. That was the city. That was uptown area. We was in the woods. We lived a mile off the pavement. One car family.
Amen.
I remember it clearly. I want to play basketball so bad. Oh man, I'm telling you, I want to play so bad. And I tell my dad, I said, I want to be on the team. I want to play. He said, good. He said, bring home good grades. He says, I remember one time I told him, Coach Higginbottom told him, he says, I'd ask him every day practice. He'd say, I said, am I still on the team? He said, your name ain't on the board, is it? That's all he would say. I thought, wow, boy, that's sure eat a man's lunch. You know, because now I'm not going to ask him no more. I'm just going to look and see if my name's on the board. I told my dad, I said, I need some tennis shoes. I need some Converse, high top, white tennis shoes. I need some. He said, son, if you're good enough, they'll buy them for you. Things is just going down quickly, I'm telling you. It wasn't looking good. It wasn't looking good. And ultimately, it wasn't. Amen. He never did specify that grade situation. It was way higher than what school said it had to be. I'm telling you, lost people take a stand. And if lost people can take a stand, saved people ought to take a stand. It's just the right thing to do. Not only is that the right thing to do, I'd like to say because those before us did. those before us did. Have you ever thought about how many people must have died for the name of Christ? There's an untold number that we don't even know about of people that have died, martyrs, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They stood. Man, they took a stand. They stood up for Christ. When opposition came, they stood. They stood. You know what they didn't think about, Brother Allen? They didn't think about themselves. They wasn't thinking about, this might offend me. This might be something I don't like. Listen. Stephen died because of the name of Christ. In Acts chapter number 6 and 7, Stephen was stoned to death because of Christ. Not only Stephen, Andrew was crucified. History says that they wanted to crucify him, and he asked them not to crucify him like that, because that's how Jesus was crucified. And they said they put him not just upside down, but crossways. Peter was crucified according to history. And Peter says, I can't be crucified like Christ. So if you just crucify me upside down, I don't deserve to be crucified like the Savior. Man, if you don't tell me that, I ain't taking a stand. Huh? Is that not doing something? Man, I'm telling you, you know what it's like? You know where we're at right now? We don't even think about being a martyr no more. We have to take a literal stand on a Sunday and a Wednesday to get to come to church. That's where we're at today. We go find us a job somewhere, and they say, what days you want to work? They always ask that, but they don't care what you think. I've had folks tell me I'm going to work at McDonald's, and I said, oh boy, see you later. Oh, no, I done told them I'm not working on Sunday. Yeah. That ain't the first time I've heard that story. Yeah, man. I'm saying tonight that we feel like we're almost to the place where we're having to be martyrs if we have to say, I can't take that job. That's not a martyr. That's not being killed. That's not the Polycarp. Polycarp was killed. His life was taken from him because of the name of Christ. Wow, I mean, literally, a man was killed. They stoned him. There was men that they burned him at the stake. They choked him to death. I forget which one was it. Was Polycarp or John Huss, one of the two of them. They tried to burn him at the stake, and he couldn't. They couldn't. His body wouldn't catch a fire. They couldn't burn him, so they took their swords and took their spears and just run them through him until he died. I'm talking about people that was taking a stand. I said, Brother Edward, I sure hope I don't ever do that. No, I hope I don't either. And I hope you don't either. But I do hope this. I do hope that whenever the day comes that the test falls your way to take a stand, that you do it. I do hope. And it's not going to be, well, Larry, it probably won't be nothing like that. I'll tell you this here. In the tribulation, you'll see something like that. That's why you better make sure you ain't going to be here. That's why you better make sure you're saved. You said, Brother David, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I wouldn't go leave here tonight not knowing it. I'd make sure tonight. I'd say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I do know I don't want to go to hell. I want to fix it up tonight. I'd make sure about that. Amen. I wouldn't put another day off. I wouldn't put it aside for one more minute. I'm telling you, friends, those before us did stand. Polycarp died somewhere between 155 and 167 A.D. They don't even know when he died. That's how irrelevant he was to the world. They didn't care about him. But he said, I'm going to stand. Wycliffe was burned at the stake. John Huss, July the 6th, 1415, was burned at the stake. William Tyndale, October the 6th, 1536, he was killed for the name of Christ. Wow. And the list goes on and on and on and on of people that stood. How many has ever heard of the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs?
probably one of the greatest books that you could ever read about people that stood. Amen. People that stood. Do you know we feel like we're suffering now because we can't go to our favorite restaurant on Wednesday night of church? We feel like the kids are like, Daddy, you don't love me no more? What's wrong? What happened? I mean, did we just enter the tribulation? Can I tell you, we have been petted and pampered so much and given everything we wanted. All this giving and petting and pampering came from ourselves. And all along the way, every time we had an opportunity to stand for the cause of Christ, we said, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that later. That's for next week. I'm thinking about fasting next week, and if something don't come up to interrupt it, I'm going to do it. Is that not the way we think as Christians? I'm talking about just standing. I'm talking about just standing for the name of Christ. Hey, those that did before us, that came before us, those before us did it. It's just the right thing to do, Brother Darnell. I mean, what else could I do except stand up and say, thank you, Lord? What else? Listen. One day, on an old rugged cross, the Lamb of God laid Himself down. Listen to me, please. Laid Himself down. He said, no man taketh my life from me. He said, I lay it down, and if I lay it down, I will take it up again. One day on that cross, He laid it down, and I'm telling you, He didn't, as far as I'm concerned, He didn't do it just for you. He done it for me. He done it for me. Thank God. Thank God. If I could say anything, I'd like to say thank you, Lord, for taking my place. Thank you, Lord, for paying my debt. Thank you, Lord, for just giving me an opportunity to be a child of the King. And one day, Lord, if you will, give me a chance. Give me an opportunity so I can stand. Well, stand. I'm not wanting no kind of spotlight on me.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not wanting any personal gain. I'm not wanting somebody to go, wow, look at Brother Edward. I ain't wanting all that. And you shouldn't want all that either. All He asked us to do was just stand. He said, stand therefore. He said in verse 13, have done all things, therefore stand. He said, verse 14, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Not only is the right thing to do, not only because those before us did, but because of those in front of us are watching. Man. Hey, some of us in here, we got a whole lot less time ahead of us than what we got behind us. I mean, Brother Mike, just looking at reality. The 60 and 10. And some of y'all's lived a lot longer than that. Daddy used to tell me, he said, son, them folks on borrowed time. He said, maybe, just maybe, they honored their parents. Maybe they took care of themselves. Nobody can say why. If you've lived past 70 years old, nobody can say why. But I want to give you something to let you be reminded of this. Not a whole lot of years left. That's not trying to discourage nobody. That's just being factual. You're 60 years old, chances are great you ain't going to make 40 more years. You might. Brother Leo's mama did. You're 70 years old, you might make 30. I'm just using 100. That's way past 60 and 10. I'm just saying, Brother Albert, there's people watching you. There is children in this church watching us. I listen to people all the time, David. I listen to people. You know what? You know what's crazy? It's crazy to me. I listen to people that are so dogmatic about what they say they believe. I mean, they're literally so strong on their faith that they're willing to separate themselves from somebody that might believe different than they do. And that same person don't think one thing about missing church on Sunday. Let me tell you something. Give me John Owen. Stand up, John Owen. How old are you, son?
13.
We said that kind of loud, didn't it? Bob, I'm 13. He's 13 years old. Do you know what kind of Bible doctrine Brother Gary knows? The answer to that would be no. That wasn't a trick question. You know that's the truth. Brother Mike, if you was to sit down with him and start telling the Bible doctrine that you believe is the Baptist faith, he'd be sitting there going, what's he saying? He's 13 years old. He don't care about all of that right now. But he does care about this if you don't stand. He does care if his Sunday school teacher, if Brother Jeff just says, you know what, I'm just tired of doing this. I'm wore out, man. I'm hot. I've been on the roof fixing air conditioners. I ain't even going to church tonight. John Owen will go, whoa.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it ain't just him. It's all these other, I'm talking to you, buddy. It's all these other young people, young Christians, for them, we got to stand. We got to stand. You know what I want to stand? I want to stand because of my grandchildren. I want to stand because of my children. You say, all your kids are grown. In their mind. I mean, I love them. There ain't no doubt about that. In their mind. Somebody hit me right here, please. We have testimony service. All the older people say, I like to tell you how dumb my kids are. I hope they wouldn't do nothing like that. I'm just saying, hey, all I got to do is just come up here one day and say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to go to church Sunday. If they tell somebody to preach, I don't care who preaches, just tell somebody to preach. I'm just going to stay home and I'm gonna put me a bucket, 5 gallon bucket of water in the backyard and fish off my deck back there, okay? Nobody here would understand that. You know why? Because it wouldn't make no sense. Because he'd been preaching about standing, being faithful, and standing. And there he is now, fishing off the back porch in a 5 gallon bucket. I'm telling you, for those that's for us. And then I want you to notice this. Because the Bible said to. It just said to. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. There was a preacher. He was, his name was Dudley Team. I think I'm pronouncing that right. 1858. Dudley Team. In 1858, he preached at a meeting with over 5,000 people had gathered. In 1858. He chose this text out of Exodus chapter 10 and verse 11. And it goes something like this. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. Well, that's an easy commandment for us. Let's just go serve the Lord, Brother Albert. Did you know that's a lot easier said than it is done? How many people in here has worked all day today? You ain't even got to tell me this. I know you're tired. I know that for you to come into the house of God on Wednesday night, you had to talk to your flesh about it. And tell your flesh that it ain't getting what it wants. We go to church. Thank you. Thank you, not just for me, but thank you for standing. Thank you for doing what God wants you to do. One day this man is giving a message. Brother Dudley is giving a message, and hey, he said this. He said he would rather lose his right arm than stop proclaiming God's word. Wow. Better be careful about your statements like that. The Lord might just check you out. He gave the message. They said it was a soul-stirring message. Rather give his right arm than to stop proclaiming. He said, I'd rather give my right arm than to
Quit standing.
Test to come. You know what I found out about those tests like that? Every time I've had to take one, Brother Larry, I didn't ever look good. I always looked bad on the test. Because I'd made a statement that I thought was just something big and bold to say, but it was mostly just braggadocious. It was mostly just prideful. One day this man, he entered a barn where there was a mule running a grinder, and he was grinding corn, making meal. And he walked by and he took his right hand and he went to hit that horse and just pat the horse when he went by, and somehow or another he got his right hand hooked up, got caught in a mechanism of that grinder. They said by the time he got it out, his arm was just so mangled. Said there was absolutely no hope of saving it. And it was so bad in 1858 that he bled to death. He gave his right arm all right. You know what's really hard to imagine? A man that was such a powerful preacher. Brother Michael, a man that God was used in such a powerful way. Please forgive me if you don't think like this. Please forgive me. Why would the Lord let something like that happen? Does anybody besides me think like that? But he said, if I ever get to the place where I don't preach this gospel, could it have been there was something down the road he didn't see? Could there have been there was some temptations right around the corner that he'd have failed prey to? Let's say it could have been. Through all these things, you know what the best, you know what the, hey, you know what the best thing to do is? Just stand. Don't be braggadocious and don't say, I'm going to do this and God help me to do that. Lord, just help me stand. When I go back to school next week, God, let me stand. Because you're going to have to pray. You're going to have God helping you. We can't do these things on our own. He was dying. I said just before he died, he sent a message to the men who had been his associates in the revival work. He said, tell them. He said, tell them to stand up for Jesus. He said on the following Sunday, George Duffield preached at his own church, taking for his text Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. He said at the close of the message, he read a poem. He had written, embodying the dying words, the sentiments of the departed friend, Dudley Ting. It was later set to a stirring tune. It became well-known hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. This man read this poem in his Sunday school. And a man named Benedict Stewart had a number of copies printed. And the song was soon appeared, and it's called the Sabbath Hymn Book. And it later became a favorite of Civil War soldiers. Stand up for Jesus. You're going to be tested. I'm going to be tested. Every one of us is going to be tested. And I'll be honest with you, when I was in school and I had to take a test, of course, obviously it was very disappointing if I got a failure mark. But you know, if I just barely passed, it was okay, but it wasn't all that exciting. But if I got a good grade, I couldn't wait to get home, show Mom and Daddy. You know what I'm thinking, Brother Hallings? I'm thinking in this life that we live, with the tests and trials, Hebrews chapter 11, everybody mentioned in that chapter was tested and tried. But look where they got their name. In the book. Hey, let me just remind you of something real good, real sweet. January the 27th, 1972, at the fairgrounds in Callahan, Florida, in the agricultural building, I fell down before God. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I don't know nothing about standing. All I want to know is I want to get in. And the test, the trial, the presentation had been made. He had presented the blood. He had told me that all I had to do was to accept it. And through doing all of that, the test was this. Will you? That's an easy test. Yes or no? Will you? Will you accept the blood? Will you? Will you accept it? He shed it for you. He died for us. Will you accept it? Are you in? If you're not in, why would you delay? Why would you hesitate? And then if you are in, let's stand. Let's stand. Stand therefore. Hey, when I done that on that Thursday night, you know what it got me? I didn't get in Hebrews chapter 11, but I did get my name written down in another book. Thank God. Thank God my name's there. Amen. People can say, oh, well, Everett, he ain't half a Christian. That's all it takes, just being half a Christian, I reckon, because they got my name there. Amen. Hey, I might not be what they think I ought to be. It's the perfect, the model, whatever. But whatever they think about me, I don't care. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is written down, thank God. I am sealed until the day of redemption. I'm just waiting on the trumpet to sound. Whatever comes first, that way or Al Chapman, it don't matter to me. Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die. Thank God in between now and then, I'm praying that God will let me stand. Stand. I want to encourage you. Stand. Stand when it's hard. Standing when it's easy ain't no job. Stand. And God will bless you for it. Amen. Let's all stand together.